Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump keeps pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
The EU's new president looks to boost relations with the White House.
Bank of America looks to buck the trend seen in results from Wells Fargo.
And Jay Powell cements expectations for a rate cut in 2 weeks.
The House votes to condemn President Trump's comments, Democrats say, are racist. Plus, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees and Mets both with hard-fought wins, and we'll check in across the pond for the Open Championship, which starts Thursday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
U.S. futures edging higher this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 6 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. So is the CAC in Paris. The 10-year treasury, little change. Yield 2.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 34 cents at $57.96 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $8.70 to $14.02.50 an ounce. And this data check brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Download for free at ibkr.com/PA. Nathan.
Karen, President Trump's keeping pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
We have a long way to go as far as tariffs with China is concerned if we want. We have another $325 billion that we can put a tariff on if we want. So we're talking to China about a deal, but I wish they didn't break the deal that we had.
The comments add to pressure the president put on China this week on Twitter, saying tariffs are squeezing the country's economy.
The threat of more levies saw stocks in Asia fall today, though volumes were light. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us live from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Well, the export-heavy South Korean index was hardest hit as Samsung shares weighed on the KOSPI, sending it lower by almost 1%. Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 0.33% on the close in Tokyo, while Hong Kong retail stocks fell amid more signs of a faltering market in the wake of the recent city protests. Here in Singapore, stocks were little changed despite dismal exports data, a sign of the impact of the ongoing trade dispute. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. President Trump is also taking aim at the Fed, criticizing the central bank for ending its quantitative easing program.
They did quantitative tightening, $50 billion a month. That's a lot of money. Now they're doing $25 billion a month. Whereas in Europe, they're pumping money into their system and they're lowering rates.
Meanwhile, Fed Chairman Jay Powell is cementing expectations for a rate cut this month.
We will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion with a strong labor market and inflation near its symmetric 2% objective.
Speaking in Paris, Powell said the baseline scenario for U.S. growth remains solid, but he also made sure to address risks tied to trade policy.
Uncertainties around this outlook have increased, however, particularly regarding trade developments and global growth.
The Fed Chairman also spoke broadly about the importance of international links between economies of the world.
When it comes to trade policy with the European Union, the White House now has a new leader to contend with. Germany's Ursula von der Leyen has officially been elected president of the European Commission and tells us she wants to bolster relationships with the United States.
We do have issues, but we should never forget that we are allies and we are friends. We sit on the same side of the table, if I may put it that way. And therefore, we're going to negotiate hard about the different topics that have to be solved. But in the very end, we do know that it's better to be in an intensive, healthy way trading with each other.
At the same time, though, we have word that the EU is probing Amazon for its dual role as a retailer and host to other sellers. The European Commission is opening a formal investigation to assess whether Amazon uses sensitive data from independent retailers for its own advantage. Shares of Amazon are little changed in early trading.
On Wall Street today, the parade of bank earnings continues after mixed results yesterday. Trading revenue at Goldman Sachs was a bright spot, but results from Wells Fargo disappointed. Today, we hear from Bank of America. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Because of the worsening interest rate environment, Bloomberg Intelligence says B of A's income growth and underlying trends will be pivotal. Investors will zero in on net interest margin, core loan and deposit pricing, and competition with a focus on 2020 risks. Analysts think Bank of America will post a profit of 71 cents a share on revenue topping $23 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Facebook came under heavy fire on Capitol Hill for its push to create a new digital currency, with most Senate Banking Committee members saying the company should not be trusted to create a new global currency. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is on that committee and spoke with Bloomberg following the hearing.
We've seen Facebook over the last decade plus do what I call catch and kill, where any new entrant into the marketplace, Facebook would either copy or they go out and directly acquire. And here you had this blockchain technology that might be able to come and disrupt. And again, it appears that Facebook is using the same strategic effort to say, let's bring some other players in, create this Libra network, and then use their market power to create the wallet where a lot of the transactions would take place.
Senator Mark Warner is one of several lawmakers questioning Facebook's credibility. The company's head of blockchain, David Marcus, heads to the Hill again today to testify in front of the House.
And Facebook's push into digital currency also tops the agenda in France today, where G7 finance ministers and central bankers are meeting. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is there.
What they're concerned about is the fact that they don't actually know what Libra is or what is the ultimate goal. This is almost the first step towards creating something that could compete with the dollar, that could compete with the euro. Clearly, that's a non-starter.
Also on the agenda, today's meeting of the G7 finance ministers, addressing risks in the global economy, building a fair international tax system, and reducing inequalities between developed and developing countries.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 5.5 points, Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures up 21, and the euro 1.1218 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Four Republicans joined all House Democrats in a resolution condemning President Donald Trump for tweets against four liberal congresswomen of color. The controversy started when the president tweeted that the four lawmakers should go back to the countries they originally came from instead of telling Americans how our government is to be run. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi before the vote.
Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise condemned the resolution as a waste of time.
They want us to be spending time focusing on lowering their prescription drug prices, lowering health care prices, rather than this foolishness.
The vote was 240 to 187. Chief Justice John Roberts is praising his late former colleague John Paul Stevens for an unrelenting commitment to justice. The retired justice died yesterday in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a day after suffering a stroke. John Paul Stevens was 99. Notorious Mexican drug lord Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, will be sentenced today in New York City. Guzman was convicted in February of multiple conspiracy counts in an epic drug trafficking case. In their effort to get accused child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein freed on bail, defense lawyers are focusing on a discovery that prosecutors argue is proof he might flee. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Seeking to explain a 1980s-era Austrian passport found in his New York mansion with his photo but another name, Epstein's lawyers say in a court filing it was just in case of hijacking. Pointing out that Epstein is an affluent member of the Jewish faith, they say he acquired the passport in the 1980s when hijackings were prevalent for personal protection in connection with Middle East travel. It was to be presented to potential kidnappers or terrorists, quote, should violent episodes occur. They say there's no evidence it was ever used. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York will raise its smoking age from 18 to 21 under legislation signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The change, which takes effect in 120 days, will apply to the sales of traditional tobacco products as well as electronic cigarettes and vaporizers. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees showed some fight Tuesday after Monday's heartbreaker to the Rays. 8-3 the final. They nearly had a fight after CC Sabathia fanned Avi Asil Garcia. Benches cleared. No punches were thrown. Didi Gregorius played peacemaker before he brought the lumber in the eighth.
1-2. Drill! Deep right field! No doubt about it! Grand slam for Didi Gregorius into the bleachers in right field!
Yankees radio, Aaron Judge also a homer in the eighth as the Yankees increased their lead back to six in the East. Four-game set rolls on for the Bronx. Domingo Germán goes for his 12th win tonight. Mets played as sound of a game as you could hope for on the bump against first-place Minnesota, winning 3-2 in the Twin Cities to open the brief two-game series. Michael Conforto went 4-for-4, drove in the go-ahead run in the fifth. The bullpen made its stand. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway.
To throw up five scoreless innings against that group over there, that says a lot. You know, and you knew they weren't going to make every inning easy on you, and they came back. You know, there's a lot of energy in the stadium.
Seven pitchers combined for the win. It's day baseball at 110. Jason Vargas battles Martin Perez. And golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship, gets underway Thursday from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Phil Mickelson on the weekend.
I don't want to compare it to any because it's unique in its own right. It's special. Players love it. It's hard. Awesome mixture of very difficult holes. Weather's going to be a big factor, but it's very playable. It's set up extremely well.
Francesco Molinari is the defending champion. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
And Rob, New York sports fans may now bet closer to home after the state joined the growing list of those that allow sports wagers. Schenectady's Rivers Casino and Resort opened its betting lounge to the public yesterday. It's the first of what is likely to be several casinos to begin taking bets before football season kicks off. New York's eager to catch up to New Jersey, where gamblers bet more than $3 billion on sports in the first full year that was legal in the Garden State. S&P futures 5.5 points higher. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 20 points. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, the parade of bank earnings continues. We preview Bank of America with Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams. Stay with us.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The House voted to condemn President Trump's comments as racist after he said four Democratic lawmakers should go back to the countries they came from. Some Republicans voted for the measure with Democrats. Netflix has braced investors for a muted quarter when it reports after the close. A domestic price hike and lighter content slate may contribute to fewer subscriber gains. China's treasury holdings edged down by $2.8 billion in May. That's the third month of declines and leaves its stockpile at $1.1 trillion, the smallest since 2017. And oil supplies probably shrank again last week. According to the API, U.S. stockpiles fell by 1.4 million barrels. That would make for the longest run of declines in almost a year. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are up 3.5 points. Dow futures up 31. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 40 cents at $58.02 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.6% or $8.50 to $14.0270 an ounce. The euro, 1.1215 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2399. And the yen, 108.28. As a Bloomberg Business Flash, now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. Stevens was the third longest serving U.S. Supreme Court Justice, serving from 1975 to 2010. Stevens was 99. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she sees forward motion after more talks with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to negotiate higher spending levels in a budget deal. Congressional leaders want to attach it to a bill raising the debt limit before Congress's August recess. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox lost. The Nationals smoked the Orioles 8-1. The A's and Giants were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to follow the parade of bank earnings this morning. Later this hour, we expect second quarter results from Bank of America. Here to help us preview that, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams. I think it's safe to say, Allison, the story as we follow these bank earnings has been net interest income. Is that the main thing you'll be watching for from B of A today?
So it is the main thing that we're watching for. And so far we've had three for three across the large banks that I cover in terms of net interest margin misses. And this is despite the fact that sell side analysts were bringing down expectations into the quarter for these margins. I think, we did expect to see some misses, but it's been broad.
Can we expect to see a beat from B of A? How has that bank set expectations?
So expectations are low, but that doesn't necessarily mean I think that they'll beat, at least on the net interest margin side. And I think it's less about what they report for the quarter and more about the forward look. So the bank already halved their expected gross to about 3% in April. In late May, they said that interest income could be even lighter if rates hold steady. So we'll see if they take that down. And what we saw at JP Morgan was reduced guidance, you know, factoring in up to three rate cuts. Citigroup talking about their estimates, factoring in one rate cut later in the year. And so I think it's not just about the guidance, but what the assumptions are. The other, two main things that we're looking at, one is cost. So that's been, I think, the other big story this quarter. Wells Fargo, that's been, I think, most aggressive in bringing down their net interest margin guidance and interest income guidance, you know, guiding to higher costs yesterday. That was really a disappointment. And in contrast to Citigroup, where you're going to see some cost cuts coming through in the second half from Goldman and JP Morgan, you know, those banks are talking about the fact that they're going to continue focusing on their investments. So that, is something we see across the banks. But I think that's the other critical component. And then lastly, trading, which is an area where the bar is set low. Bank of America, I think, guide down to a 10% down quarter year over year in trading. Fixed income so far has been, about in line to disappointing. Equities trading also a miss, with the exception of Goldman that came out better yesterday.
The other side of the coin from falling rates is that it could potentially drive, retail customers in to, apply for loans. Is that a growth area potentially for B of A?
And to your point, that is one of the, stronger areas we've seen. And that is the hope. And that is also why we can't just look at these, rate moves in isolation. At the end of the day, the impact to the banks is going to be not just the cuts happening, but what is the ultimate impact? So Bank of America does have a broad franchise across the U.S. The consumer is an area that we're seeing hold up. We're seeing credit also broadly solid across the bank, both on the consumer and commercial side. And that's something we're also going to be watching for with Bank of America.
Does the bank have room to grow through branch expansions?
The bank is growing through branch expansions, and despite the fact that it does have obviously a significant and one of the largest branch systems in the U.S., but Bank of America, like its other larger competitors, is basically, sort of rationalizing their footprint. So, more focused branches in more places. So expanding in some of the cities that they don't yet have a presence in, and then in some other, in other areas where they're perhaps a little bit more overbanked, shrinking the size of those offices and really focusing on the sales effort as digital takes hold. And that's, you know, those are some of the other metrics that we're seeing, you know, very positive results across the larger banks. So we'll see what Bank of America reports on that front.
And we'll see later this hour, in fact. We will bring you those results as they come down on the Bloomberg Terminal here on Bloomberg Radio. Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, thanks for the preview. And taking a look at broader markets this morning, U.S. futures pointing to a higher open, S&P futures up almost 4 points now, Dow futures up 30, NASDAQ futures up 16 points. The 10-year is up 1/32nd, the yield 2.09%, 2-year Treasuries 1.85% yield. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we'll have more on the ratcheted rhetoric between President Trump and China and all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks trading mixed around the world as continuing U.S.-China trade tensions offset solid corporate earnings and economic data. President Trump is keeping pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
We have a long way to go as far as tariffs with China is concerned if we want. We have another $325 billion that we can put a tariff on if we want.
And meanwhile, China says further levies would complicate negotiations with the White House.
Now, the trade dispute is one of the reasons Jerome Powell continues his dovish tone. Speaking in France, the Fed chief said the central bank is carefully monitoring downside risks to growth.
We will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion with a strong labor market and inflation near its symmetric 2% objective.
We get the Fed's next policy decision 2 weeks from today.
In Europe, Ursula von der Leyen has been confirmed as the new president of the European Commission. She's the first woman to hold the job.
And we have word the EU is probing Amazon now for its dual role as a retailer and host to other sellers. The European Commission's opening a formal investigation to assess whether Amazon uses sensitive data from independent retailers for its own advantage.
Car sales in Europe have resumed their downward spiral. They fell 7.9% in June. That's the worst monthly decline since December.
Earnings season continues with 16 companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. This morning we hear from Bank of America. This afternoon, Netflix. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a preview.
Netflix has braced investors for a muted second quarter with 8% fewer subscriber gains versus last year. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say while seasonality will play a role, elevated churn due to a 13 to 18% domestic price hike and a lighter content slate are the key reasons for the tempered U.S. outlook. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Qualcomm are up 5.7% this morning. The Trump administration is urging a federal appeals court to put on hold an order that would force Qualcomm to change how it licenses its patents. The White House says the case threatens competition, innovation, and national security. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.09%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 36 cents at $57.98 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $8.90 to $14.02.30 an ounce, and the euro 1.1216 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The House of Representatives voted to condemn comments by President Donald Trump aimed at four Democratic congresswomen. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The process did get slowed down a bit as Republicans objected to Speaker Nancy Pelosi's use of the word racist.
Disgraceful and disgusting, and the comments are racist.
But the talk has heated even further as the president stuck by his words, and then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell backed him up.
The president's not a racist. And I think the tone of all of this is not good for the country.
To which Congresswoman Jackie Speier says,
to have Mitch McConnell say, dance around the fact that his wife, who is not an American citizen by birth, but by choice, if someone said to her, go back to your country, he wouldn't say that that's racist.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. Stevens, who was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court by a Republican president, became a leading liberal voice on presidential powers, the death penalty, and individual rights. Stevens was 99. Mexican drug lord Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, faces sentencing today in New York City. He's expected to spend the rest of his life behind bars at a maximum security U.S. prison. The tri-state area is about to really bake under high temperatures. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Michael, over the course of the next couple of days, weather across the tri-state area is just going to get hotter. The peak of the hot weather looks to be Friday and the upcoming weekend. There'll be many places around the city and in suburbs between 95 and 100 degrees Saturday afternoon. You factor in the humidity, most places are going to feel like they're 105 or warmer. Now, the hot weather is going to continue through Sunday. It does look like it's going to break down by early next week. Trough of low pressure will start to send some cooler temperatures our way, and it'll become much more reasonable by next Tuesday and Wednesday. Michael?
Thank you, Rob. Bill Gates has never ranked lower than number 2 in the 7-year history of the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, and that run has now ended. The Microsoft co-founder dropped to number 3 behind Francis Bernard Arnault. LVMH, Arnault's luxury goods maker, advanced to a record in Paris and pushed his net worth to $107.6 billion. And ahead of Gates by more than $200 million. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is the world's richest person. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
And we're coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Michael, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Great day on the diamond for both local clubs as the Yankees overpowered Tampa Bay 8-3 at the stadium thanks to Aaron Judge and Didi Gregorius hitting a pair of homers in the eighth. Didi's was a grand slam. Pitching was solid again as David Hale improved to 3-0. New York manager Aaron Boone.
Every guy we hand the ball to, we know is really capable. You know, CeCe, another good start tonight. He's had a few now in a row. I think we give the ball to Domingo tomorrow. We're excited about that. We know our five we're running out there right now give us a great chance to win every single day.
Four-game set continues tonight. Domingo Germán chasing his 12th win. The lead is 6 in the East. Mets stole a 3-2 win in Minnesota with Michael Conforto going 4-for-4.
Cued off the end of his bat, left side, it gets by Sano, and into left field, a base hit. That one just squeaked by as Rosario scores, and Michael Conforto with a two-out RBI single.
Mets radio that pushed them ahead for good in the fifth. They used 7 pitchers in all, including Edwin Diaz, who earned his 21st save. Brief two-game set winds up at 1-10. Martin Perez hosts Jason Vargas. And golf's final major gets underway on Thursday. It's the 148th Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Tiger Woods on the difficulty he could face.
It's amazing that it hasn't been here in such a long period of time. Just a wonderful golf course. You can play so many different ways. Depends on the wind, what it does. But it's an unbelievable golf course.
Tiger won the Masters in April, his first major in 11 years. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thank you, Rob. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Owning a gun increases the risk of homicide, suicide, and unintentional shooting. Strikingly, though, more than half of American gun owners fail to use safe storage practices. Worse, according to a national survey, about 2 in 10 gun-owning households with children store at least one weapon in the least safe manner, loaded and unlocked. That leaves about 7% of U.S. children, some 4.6 million, at risk. It's time to get serious about locking guns down. Some states are making progress. Connecticut strengthened its law this year, mandating gun owners to store their weapons securely. And Nevada recently enacted a similar measure. Getting more states on board shouldn't be too much to ask. An analysis published in May concluded that getting adults to properly secure their firearms could prevent up to 32% of youth gun deaths. One good way to motivate citizens to do the right thing? Enact a law. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The nation's hottest days could increase fourfold by mid-century without action to cut greenhouse gases, according to a new report from the Union of Concerned Scientists. Even if the amount of global warming were kept below a target of 2 degrees Celsius or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, the country will still experience significant increases in high heat days. Some cities, including Louisville, Kentucky, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, have already started implementing cooling strategies. For Phoenix, the report notes the historical average of days per year with a heat index above 105 degrees Fahrenheit is 16. That's the so-called feels-like measure of temperatures. With slow climate action, the report estimates 57 days above 105, and with no climate action, 71 days with a heat index above 105 Fahrenheit. The report warns nearly everywhere people will experience more days of dangerous heat in the next few decades. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Coming up to 6:40 on Wall Street, and later today, the government issues data on housing starts, with economists saying those starts probably edged lower in June, even with lower mortgage rates. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
In May, housing starts start for the first time in 3 months, with single-family projects accounting for the weakness. Bloomberg Economics says the construction market faces a lack of labor as well as rising material costs. Coupled with the elevated prices, that's a huge barrier for first-time home buyers. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And as we await second-quarter earnings from Bank of America, futures on Wall Street are pointing just a touch higher now, with S&P futures up almost 3 points. Dow futures up 22, NASDAQ futures up 12 points. The DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, little change to higher. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.09%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are moving higher this morning, and we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the futures right now, with Dow futures up 18 points. S&P's gained 2, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 12. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.09%, and Asia markets were mostly lower overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts, and at 2 o'clock, the Fed releases its beige book. After the bell last night, United Airlines beat estimates, and Rail CSX missed estimates. Shares are down 7.5% pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Bank of America, 74 cents, but Q2 net interest income, $12.19 billion. That missed estimates of $12.44 billion. Also look for Abbott Labs to report around 7:45. Wrapping things up, C-Trip was upgraded to outperform at Credit Suisse. Hershey upgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs. And AGCO downgraded to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And just checking, Bank of America shares currently up 0.3% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House voted to condemn comments from President Donald Trump. Four Republicans joined all Democrats in the 240-187 vote to back a resolution that read, quote, strongly condemns President Donald Trump's racist comments that have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died at age 99. Planned Parenthood abruptly removed its president, Leanna Wen, after less than a year on the job. The group faces threats to its funding from President Trump and abortion opponents in several state houses. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox lost. The Nationals smoked the Orioles 8-1. The A's and Giants were winners. Finally, from Daybreak, on the Bloomberg terminal.
What?
Elon Musk's NeutraLink wants to drill holes in people's skulls in order to insert brain implants that will allow them to control computers and smartphones using their thoughts. I don't need a hole in my head to tell you what I think about this.
Wow.
The company plans to seek FDA approval to start clinical trials on humans as early as next year. Nathan, according to Musk, ultimately, we will achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence.
Because as if robots taking over weren't scary enough. But way to drill down into that story, Michael.
Here's some symbiosis. Pick up the phone. Global News, 24 hours a day on air.
Love it.
And at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 650 on Wall Street. And we do continue to watch earnings from Bank of America across the Bloomberg terminal. Bloomberg finance reporter Hannah Levitt is here to help us break down the numbers. Obviously, a lot of focus, Hannah, on net interest income for all of the banks that we've seen report this week. What are the results from B of A?
Hey, Nathan. Thanks for having me. So Bank of America's net interest income was an up arrow this quarter, which is a good sign relative to Wells Fargo, which reported yesterday, and it was actually a decrease. But it still was shy of expectations, which will bring some questions during the earnings call. You know, rates have been declining all year, and the market is expecting at least one Federal Reserve rate cut. So all eyes are on kind of how that impacts what kind of money the banks are making.
As far as total trading revenues, they came in just shy of expectations.
Yeah, so it looks like their FIC trading was a little bit better than expected, and their equities a little bit worse, and that brought it to just shy of expectations. So that's pretty good. It's been a down arrow for everyone this quarter. So, yeah, it's a good sign that they're you know, meeting expectations there.
And as far as the forward guidance, as you mentioned, with everybody sort of baking in what the Fed is going to do for the rest of the year, what will you be listening for on the call?
Yeah, so on the call today, I'll definitely be listening for the net interest income guidance. Last quarter, Bank of America said that though it'll still be an up arrow for the year, it'll be about half as much growth as it was last year for that number. And Wells Fargo, meanwhile, has guided to a decrease. And then yesterday they said that it would be at the lower end of their range. So they previously gave a range of a 2-5% drop, and now they said it'll be close to a 5% drop. So any guidance there? Jamie Dimon also, while comparing net interest income to the wind, he cut the outlook by $500 million.
And what do you be looking for in terms of the consumer lending business? That's a big part of what B of A does.
Yeah, so consumers have really been driving across the industry. They've been driving these banks a lot amid muted trading and investment banking results. So we'll be looking for outlook on consumer health, what they're seeing there, and just kind of what kind of runway there is for that.
And as we continue to watch these earnings cross the Bloomberg terminal, B of A shares are down 1% in early trading. Hannah Levitt, Bloomberg News finance reporter, thanks again for being with us as those earnings come down. Turning to politics now, as we head into 6:53 on Wall Street, let's check what's happening in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include another hearing on Facebook's cryptocurrency plans, this time before the House Financial Services Committee after a contentious hearing before the Senate Banking Committee yesterday. Speaker Pelosi reports progress in talks with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to boost spending caps while raising the debt ceiling, and the death of retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens at the age of 99. Also making news, the House voting now to condemn President Trump for racist remarks as his feud with four progressive congresswomen of color shows little sign of abating. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with us. And I've sort of been hitting refresh on my President Trump Twitter feed, Kate, this morning. We're not hearing much yet from the president, but do you expect that to continue?
In a word, no. I mean, I would expect this is exactly the kind of
fight that Trump likes to be engaged in. And so, you know, we've seen this going on now for 3+ days. I wouldn't expect today to be any different. He's likely to continue to kind of press this issue on Twitter. It's one that appeals very strongly to his base, and also something that really just redefines whatever the fight is in Washington on his own terms. He's fighting on ground in which he's very comfortable, which is what we know Trump likes to do politically.
And it's been fascinating, actually, to watch. Not only is it sort of coalescing his base, but we're seeing Democrats sort of unify around the squad in light of, you know, all the days of remarks that we've seen from the president.
Exactly. And so in some ways, you know, for both sides, it really allows them to energize their base and unify their base. And for Democrats, in some ways, that's particularly important because on the presidential level, the base even and Democrats generally are very divided between a number of different candidates. There is no clear standard bearer yet for 2020. In fact, Joe Biden, the front runner, is far more centrist than a lot of Democrats would prefer. And so I think in a lot of ways, this gives them a unifying rallying cry around an issue. Obviously, folks in the Democratic Party pretty uniformly have low opinions of Donald Trump, but, you know, this is a specific issue that they can all rally around.
Yeah, you talk about how this defines the race potentially for 2020 on the president's terms. Is this the kind of fight that the Democrats want to have right now?
I don't think long term it really is. I mean, I think that, you know, in terms of disliking Trump, the base itself is has been pretty, you know, strong on that issue. And I think that Democrats, if they're going to reach out to the independent and, you know, more moderate, even Republican voters that they are going to need to win the presidency in 2020, they really want to be defining the race on their own terms and talking about the issues that they think are important, like helping the middle class and pointing out how Trump's policies, you know, while maybe helping the economy in a macro sense, are widening the inequality gap. And that's really what Democrats want to be talking about ultimately.
Yeah. And it's interesting also that, you know, this reframing of the race is sort of overshadowing the issue that President Trump had been hammering over for so long, and that's immigration.
That's true. But this is a very similar issue, and it's not necessarily distinct from immigration in the sense that both immigration and this issue really play to Trump's base in the sense of it's in the broader context of America first and America for quote unquote Americans, which is where kind of both these issues can be seen as a dog whistle to Trump's base.
Do you see this carrying over into the months ahead, you know, given the fact that we have a debt ceiling fight coming up and we have a Mueller hearing coming up next week?
Well, I think the really sharp sort of debate that we're seeing in the House and kind of this extraordinary step that we saw yesterday, two extraordinary steps, really, of, you know, the House rebuking formally the president for his original comments and also the Republicans' kind of counterattack against Nancy Pelosi, where they accused her of violating House rules by calling Trump's comments racist, violating some of the decorum rules there of the House. Both of those really kind of poison the well in terms of the likelihood of bipartisanship over something like spending levels or the debt ceiling. Now, partisan relations weren't that great to begin with, so yeah. I don't know if this is going to end up being decisive, but it certainly doesn't help things.
All right, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Thanks, as always. Karen.
Thank you. We continue to watch shares of Bank of America down 0.7% in early trading after net interest income missed analyst estimates. Of course, we'll continue to watch shares of Bank of America throughout the morning on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.